1984, I was taking a class in American government and politics, and my teacher thought that would be a good year for the class to become involved in actual working with the political system. And so they made arrangements through Southern Methodist University in the close-up program for us to go and work as pages at the Republican National Convention, which met here in Dallas that year. Now, remember that? That was a long time ago. And so we went, and we went downtown, and we worked as pages, running paper that was coming off of the copy machines from one end of the hall to the other so they could be passed out on the floor. And I can remember one of my jobs was to run paper from the machine all the way to the back of the hall, and that would take us down this long hallway past the kitchens and past the bathrooms. And I can remember running, and somebody had spilt some water in the middle of the floor, and I slipped on that and went sprawling all over my face, and this stack of papers just sliding down the hall. And so as I'm trying to pick up the papers, frantically trying to get them all piled up so I can carry them on into the hall, as I was getting towards the end of the stack, as I was picking them all up, I noticed that somebody was picking up the papers at the other end. And when I got to him, I stood up and looked, and I was looking at the Vice President of the United States, George H.W. Bush. Mr. Vice President. He says, "Hello." And I said, can I have those? And he said, "Oh, sure." And he handed me the stacks that he had picked up. Meanwhile, there were these guys in black suits with little doohickeys in their ears standing there watching me, you know, like, what's this kid going to do? So I take the papers and thank him, and he thanked me, and I ran on down and into the hall. That was my first time to meet a president or vice president of the United States. Second time I met a president was at a clergy breakfast here in Dallas over a decade later. And I was in this hall of about 45 other clergy. It was not a large grouping, and we were all wondering when the president would get there and what would be going on. We were talking amongst ourselves about various issues and whatnot. And then suddenly we heard a commotion behind us, and someone whispered, "Look around you," and look behind me, and there comes the President of the United States, Bill Clinton. And I get up with the others, and we go and we meet him, and he asks us who we are and where we pastor, and did we like our ministries, and did we enjoy what we were doing? Just a very personable, great big teddy bear of a man. It was just a fascinating experience. My third time to meet a president was about 10 years later. In 2006, I'm in New York City at the reception at the Netherlands Embassy for the christening of the new cruise ship, the Nordam. And I was to be the Protestant chaplain aboard, which meant I was an official of the line, which meant that the receiving line started with Her Majesty Queen Beatrix at the front and went all the way down from the president of the line and the captains of the ship and all these powerful people, all the way down to little old peon like me at the very end. And in come the dignitaries for the dinner, and I was noticing who was there, and there comes Senator Clinton and her husband, the former president, and they're coming down the line, and they come to me at the very end of the line, and Hillary shakes my hand, and I say hello, and she asks me who and what I do, and I tell her, and it was kind of like she wanted to slip me back under the rock where she found me. And then Bill looks at me and didn't take my hand. He gave me this great big hug, and he said, "It's good to see you again, Reverend Neil." And I go, "Mr. President." I stuttered like crazy, being in the presence, that charisma, that power. And yet, my friends, talking with God has to be far beyond that. Now, I hear preachers on television, they talk like as if conversations like this with Moses happen every day. I said to God, and God said to me. I said to God, and God said to me. I said to God, and God said to me. I don't have conversations like that with God. You know, I'm not sure I want to. I mean, I hear God in the laughter of a child, in the beautiful music of a symphony, in the scriptures as they're read and proclaimed. I hear the voice of God in many ways. Not so much a booming, "Greg, do this," kind of declaration, like Moses got here. I'm not so sure we could handle it if we were continually hearing God this way. Indeed, Moses couldn't handle it. Moses couldn't handle it. Let's take a look at the story for just a minute. Here in Genesis chapter 3. "Moses, Moses, here I am. Come no closer. The land on which you're standing is holy. Take off the sandals from your feet." And so he does. God gives Moses a mission, a ministry, a calling to perform. And does Moses go, "Yes, sir"? Nah. He responds the way most of us respond to God's call. "But who am I that you would send me to Pharaoh? Who am I that you would send me to let Pharaoh hear the call? Who am I that you would send me to Pharaoh to set your people free? Who am I, God? Who am I?" God's response indicates that God knows Moses better than Moses knows himself. "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this very mountain. You're going to know that it is I who did this, because when you come out of Egypt, you'll come back here and you'll worship me. I will be with you." Now, with a calling like that and with an assurance like that, "I will be with you," you'd think that end Moses' butts. But it doesn't. But if I come to the Israelites and say that God sent me, what am I going to say to them if they ask me what your name is? But I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. And God says, "My name is I Am. My name is Yahweh, the one who is and cannot not be. I am the I Am." Tell them that I Am is calling them out of captivity. Tell them that I Am is sending you to them. Well, up until now, no one has ever gotten God's name. Jacob tried, didn't get it. Now we get God's name. The one who is. Yahweh. The one who is. You think that would be pretty exciting. But no, that's not enough either. But suppose they don't believe me. Oh. Suppose they don't believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you. You didn't see God. You're making this up. Go away, don't bother me. "What's that in your hand?" God said. "Well, it's a staff. Throw it on the ground." So Moses threw the staff on the ground and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. I would have drawn back from it too, friends. I don't like snakes. Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." Right there, I would have said, "No, thank you, I'm going the other way." Well, how all these rains last week? I had Dorcas outside, and she was playing around in the mud over by the side of the house. And I'm watching, thinking, oh God, I'm going to have to clean up those paws and that tail and that mouth. And then I saw her pull out of the ground a snake about yay long. Ooh, boy. And she decides, I'm going to bring this to Daddy. Nuh-uh. I want to bring it inside, Dad. No. You stay outside and play with it. She did. Take a hold of its tail. Here's faith, friends. So he reached out his hand and grasped it. And it became a staff in his hand. Ooh. You're going to show wonders. You're going to show my wonders. You're going to work my wonders. Wonders of transformation. Wonders of life. Wonders of death. And they'll see those wonders. And they'll believe you. That I have sent you. Okay. He's heard, I'll be with you. He's heard God's name. He's seen a wondrous, miraculous working or two. You'd think that'd be enough, right? Nope. But my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now, that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. You're not so slow that you can't say but to God. But. Trying to figure out a way to get out of it. I don't think you're so much slow of speech, Moses, as you're terrified of doing what God is calling you to do. You're trying to fish for excuses. And we do the very same thing. Searching for reasons to not respond to the call of God. God wouldn't let him get away with it. God wouldn't let him get away with it. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh God? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. Wow. So he's had a blessing to begin with. I will go with you. But they're not going to believe me. I will work wonders. But who am I to say it is? I am Yahweh. But I stutter. I'm not eloquent. I will be with you. I will be with your speech. And I will show you what to say. All of his objections wiped out one after another, just as God wipes out our objections with promises of presence and transformation. This ought to be enough for Moses, right? Now he ought to say, yes, sir, and go, right? Nope. There's still another but to reveal. But, oh my Lord, please send somebody else. I don't want to go. You sussed me out, God. I don't want to go. Send somebody else. And it says that God's anger finally is kindled against Moses. You're going to go, and Aaron's going to go with you, and he's going to speak for you. You don't have to worry about what to say. It's going to be done, and you are going. I'm reminded of the response I would get when I would go, but Mom, you ever done that? I mean, all of us were kids. You ever get on that kind of response when your mother tells you to do something and you don't want to do it, so you go, but Mom, I see even some of our more seasoned citizens are nodding their heads. But Mom, this is what's going on here. Moses is going, but God, I don't want to do that. But. And like Moses, we too are good at showing God our butts. Here, God, take a look. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. They're not going to believe me. This is crazy, and I can't talk. I'm not good at talking anyway. Ignore the fact that I'm whining and complaining and trying to convince you not to send me. Finally, God says, no, you're going because I said so. Which is the parent's answer, isn't it? I see you nodding. It's the parent's answer. That's who God is. Yep. I would go, Mom, and she'd go, you're going. But I don't care. You're going. That's God. Our Heavenly Mother saying, nope, you're going. You give me much more argument, out of the pool. And you don't want to hear that. Not in life. What about our butts? What kind of butts do we have? What kind of butts do we give to God? We got a whole lot of them, my friends. But we're too small. We're too old. We're too young. But we're too poor. We never hear, but we're too rich. Darn. But we're too oppressed. We can't do it. We're marginalized. But we're too white. But we're too black. But we've got too much to do. We've already got a full plate, God. We can't do that. But we want to, I'm going to start meddling now. But we want to go to the ball game. But we want to do whatever it is rather than do what God wants us to do. What is God calling you to do today? How is God making a demand on your life right now, this very instant? What is God calling you to give of yourself, of your time and your talents and your gifts and your service? How is God calling you to speak the good news to those whom you meet, to be the presence of Jesus in your neighborhood? How's God calling you to show God's love to others? Are we like I was standing there before a couple of presidents going, blah, 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 blah? Are we like Moses going, but? Are we going to say to God, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I'll do it? Are we looking for excuses and showing our butts to God? Or are we going to say, yes, send me? The God of grace and the God of glory is calling us to be the light of Christ in this world. To set free those who are bound both by sin and by the sin of oppression, of exclusion, of racism and sexism and genderism and whatever other ism. We are called to show forth the light of Christ, the love of God in liberating and setting free those who are bound. We're called to witness verbally and physically to this world. Are we going to say but to God? Or are we going to say yes, act in faith, and do what God says? We were studying in the study to the Romans about faith. And one of the things that came up in that study was that faith, to be truly faith, must be obedient. Are we willing to be obedient in our believing and place our belief into action and do the gospel as well as believe it? If we are, then we're the church. But if we're not, then like Moses here, we're just a bunch of butts. My friends, let's be about living the gospel for all to hear and receive and be included. Let's be about living the gospel in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.